All right, if you take your Bibles and turn me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. I want to go through this psalm with you, and I really wanted to get to verse 8 and through verse 11, and we'll see if we can do that. Okay, but I want to start out at the beginning of this psalm and take you through this psalm, and I think we'll just end wherever we end. How about that? We'll just end. If I can make it through, thank the Lord. If I don't make it through, the Lord will, I pray, gives you what you need. Now, I've entitled this message, Holy Confidence. And this Psalm of David was rightly titled by Spurgeon with that title. And I like it. Holy Confidence. What believer in Christ living in this world does not need confidence? Confidence, not in themselves, but confidence in the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. It's for this purpose, I believe, the Spirit of God has given us this Scripture, that we would have confidence in the midst of our troubles, simply by fixing our eyes on God, fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ. Now look at verses 1 through 3 with me, if you will. The psalmist begins this with the confidence of a refuge. He says, God is our refuge. And what is God? He is our strength. And God is a present help in trouble. Consider this tonight, you who are believers in Christ. God is your refuge. God is your refuge. This, we know, is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is our refuge in this, that God the Father hath made Him to be surety for us. He made Him to be the representative man of all His elect people. And then, in grace, put us in Him. Matter of fact, for you, for refuge to be viable, don't you have to be in it? Don't you have to be in it? What good is a refuge if you're outside of it? You must be in the refuge. So He's speaking to us who are in Christ. And we who are in Christ recognize this. To God be the glory that we are in Christ. The Scriptures are clear. But of God are you where? Where are you? In Christ. And what did God make Christ to be? Our refuge. He made Him to be our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. The whole of salvation is what Christ is made to be for us. God made Him such. And therefore, He is our refuge by the sovereign, eternal election of grace. Adam himself was a representative. Adam was our federal head. But what happened to us who were in Adam? We died. We died. Adam was a federal head. He represented all the race that was in him. The Scriptures are clear, wherefore, as by one man, one man. You got that? Satan didn't bring sin into the world. Satan is the father of sin. He is the father of lies. He is the original sinner. But he represented no one. He was in the world in the form of the serpent, but yet he brought no sin into this world. Adam represented him, his race and this world. And so, therefore, what by one man, sin entered in the world. And what is after his sin? Death. Judgment came. Swift judgment. Immediate justice. Fail. When Adam sinned, he immediately died. And his whole posterity died in him. Wherefore, death passed on all men. Immediately passed upon us, for all had sinned. But yet before this, God had already given His elect a representative, which is Jesus Christ, a federal head. Even so, in Jesus Christ, the Scripture says, all that were given Him, all His chosen race, all who are in Him were made righteous. Made righteous. By the act of one, we were made sinners. But yet God, decreeing before sin, gave us to Christ, and Christ by His righteousness, made us righteous. Made His elect righteous. Romans 5 verse 18 says, therefore by the offense of one judgment came unto all men unto condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Oh, friends. So then when Christ came into the world as our representative and obeyed the law, He was not doing it for Himself. He was doing it as your refuge. He was obeying the law of God in your stead. And not only this, so when Christ came and at Calvary and died, He died also as your surety. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His humanity and His deity are mentioned by Isaiah there. And the government shall be upon His shoulders. What does that mean? The weight of His kingdom, the responsibility of the salvation of His people rested solely on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And so when He died, when He came upon a Calvary's tree as our refuge, He died under the justice of God. Isn't that what a refuge does? Doesn't a refuge endure the rain, the storm, the elements, so that the people inside would be free from it? If it rained tonight, we were in this building, the building would endure the rain. We would be truly in the rain. We're in the rain, but we're shielded from it. We're a refuge. Even so was Christ. He endured the wrath of God. The illustration surely is the ark, isn't it? What a beautiful picture the ark is. Noah and his family were in the ark. They did not escape the flood. God did not take them to another planet and put them on another planet. They actually endured the flood. But it was in the ark. Therefore, the ark endured the wrath of God so that they should be saved. What a beautiful picture of what Christ did at Calvary for us. God is our refuge. Refuge from what? Refuge from God. God is a refuge from Himself. His justice. His wrath. His vengeance. Christ endured that. And so now we who are in Christ are made righteous in Him. The Scripture says that He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Why would the Son of God be made sin for us? That we should be made the righteousness of God in Him. Therefore, believer, have confidence in your refuge. Have confidence. Was He successful? That's a question, isn't it? What good is a refuge if it collapses? If we're in this building and a storm comes, It's pretty good, but what if the building collapses? What good is a refuge that crushes the people in it? Christ is no failure, friends. He is a strong refuge. He was victorious at Calvary's tree. He endured the wrath of God in our stead. How do you know God raised Him from the dead? There is an empty tomb to prove God was satisfied with our refuge. Are you troubled by sin? Are you troubled with guilt? Here's some confidence. Christ is my refuge. Christ is my refuge. Are you accused by the enemy? Does he make accusations against you? Don't fight with him. The Lord rebuke thee. What does that mean? Go take it up with him. You call me a sinner, I confess. Will I die in my sins? No. Take it up with Him. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. My refuge is sure. Your refuge is sure. He hath completely removed our sins from us. He endured God's justice, and we shall never endure the justice of God again. Secondly, God is our strength. God is our strength. How did God find you? When God found you, He found us without strength. Now, what's the weakest type of person you can think of? A dead man. Don't you think that's the weakest fellow you can find? A dead man. What could a dead man do? Nothing. He's without strength. He's without strength. That's exactly how God found us. Without strength. If you go to Romans chapter 5, it said, but God commendeth His love toward us. Listen, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. We were without sin. We were sinners. We were without, verse 6. Yeah, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet vile rebels, Christ died for us. When we were without strength, we could not save ourselves. We had no strength. We were dead in sins, and yet God commended His love toward us. He is our strength. He came to us when we were without strength. And what did He give you? He gave you strength. He gave you strength. He gave you life. He gave you life. He gave you faith. That's the evidence of life, isn't it? And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And what's the evidence of that? For by grace you are saved through what? Faith. Faith. Faith is the evidence of the quickening power of God in us. So what is God to you? What is Christ to you? He is your refuge. And He is your strength. He is your life. He is the source of your faith. Isn't that what Hebrews says? That He is the author and finisher of what? Our faith. How is it that you still are here believing on Christ? It is because He is your strength. Have confidence in this. That He who was your strength is your strength. And He who is your strength shall be your strength. I get tired. If I were to have to hold you up, I could not do it very long. Yet consider the strength of the one holding you. Consider His strength. Do you realize He has sustained the worlds and all in them since it began, and He has lost no strength? How many believers has He sustained before you? Paul said, we've got a cloud of witnesses. Look at their lives. Look how He sustained them. Those men in Holy Scripture, He sustained them throughout their life. This gives us confidence of this, that He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Peter said that you are kept by the power of God. Unto when? Until you mess up? Until you sin really badly. Is that how far He keeps you? No. Unto the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, when our mortal frame falls into the dirt, don't you realize that that dirt is kept? Preserved? I think it's funny how men used to... superstitious religion... I think it was Wycliffe, I think it was. I can't remember exactly who it was, but he was one of the writers of the New Testament in the English language. They hated him so much, they killed him. And then years later, they hated him so much, they dug up his bones and burned them. They wanted to make sure that he wasn't going to get into heaven. The ashes are still preserved unto this day by God Himself. The place is known. I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God. And the sea gave up their dead. And death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged according to the books. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast into eternal damnation. Everyone written in that book, every particle of your being is kept. Kept. Preserved. By God. That's strength. How much strength do you have? Do you keep yourself? We dare not say such a thing. I'm so thankful I don't have to keep myself. I'm so thankful He is my strength. You know, the gods of men have to be carried. You know that? They got to be carried about. The Inca man, he carves a statue of a god and he sets him on that table and he doesn't move. Not until the man picks him up and carries him over to another place. See, the gods of men have to be carried. They're a burden. But our God carries us. He said, which of you, having 100 sheep, doth not leave the 99 and find the one that's lost? And when you have found him, he puts him on his shoulder and carries him. Tonight I am being carried by Jesus Christ. He is my strength. He is my strength. And look at this. He is a present help. He is a present help. Well, when is He a present help? In trouble. He is a present help. Believer, are you not constantly in trouble? In trouble. You know, usually, if we're not in trouble, it's because we don't perceive what's going on around us. We're really in trouble. Danger lurks on every corner. You're driving along, you don't know the semi-truck that almost ran you over. You may not perceive all of the millions of things that could have caused you harm that didn't. But we are constantly in trouble. I want to talk about just trouble you know about. Are you in trouble that you know about? Does sin perplex you? Are you in trouble concerning the providence of God? Well, listen to this. God Himself is a present help. An ever constant, perpetual, present help. You know why? Because He lives in you. Now, God is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. But in a very special sense, God resides in every believer. The Holy Spirit lives in every... If any man have not the Spirit of God, Paul said this, he is none of his. There are people who actually believe that you can be a believer in Christ and not have the Holy Spirit. That's not true. Like I said, Paul said, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his. So we have the Spirit of God living in us. Therefore, we know this. Nothing, no trouble is able to touch us without His consent. Without His decree. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Without His consent. And so all that does touch us, all trouble that does come to us, we have this confidence that God who brought it will help us through it. God who has allowed our trouble, ordained our trouble, will bring us through our trouble. He is a constant help in trouble. He will help us to endure our afflictions in faith. Look at Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Scripture says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, He that formed thee, O Israel." Now listen to what God said. "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name, by thy name, thou art mine." Now there's the refuge I'm talking about. He's our Redeemer. He's our Creator. He's given us a new nature. He resides in us. He has called us. He has redeemed us. So then He says, now He speaks to us in providence. He said, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle on thee." And notice He said, "When you pass through." Don't you know that these waters, these rivers, and these fires are ordained? When you pass through them. No one who is redeemed, no one who is called, no one who is created of God escapes the waters, the rivers, or the fire. God said, "When you pass through them, they shall not overflow thee, they shall not..." In other words, they will never remove you from Christ. Are you in a fire? How then will that affect your relationship with Christ? How can that remove you from Christ? Is it possible for you to be unjustified? If God justified you, is it possible for you to be unjustified? If Christ redeemed you, is it possible to be unredeemed? No. No. You can't unredeem somebody. They're redeemed. They're bought. They're justified by God. Who then shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Shall tribulation, or persecution, or distress, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Why? He said, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Listen to what I've given you. I've given for you. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. Do you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said? He said, thou hast been honorable. You were precious in my sight. Scott, how in the world you've been honorable? How in the world were you precious? Because you were in Christ, who is precious and honorable. You were in union with Him. Therefore, you are precious. You are honorable in the sight of God. What did He do? He said, I give everything for you. Everything that is happening right now is for you. Look how few we are. And yet, all this world is moving for our good. Because you were precious. Because you were honorable in Christ. I gave Egypt, Ethiopia, and Seba for thee. I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee. And people for thy life. We cannot fathom what God gave so that you should come to faith in Christ. All of the providences that took place so that you should believe on the Son of God. How many people had to die? Consider those people that would have drove you, would have pulled you down to hell with them, and God killed them and saved you. Sinner, you were loved. You were loved. I gave men for thee and people for thy life. What's the conclusion here? Fear not. I am with thee. Right now, He is with us. He is a present help. I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone. Not one I'm missing. Everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Well, back to your text. God is our refuge. Christ, our federal head, is our refuge. Endured the wrath of God in our stead. Saved us from our sins. He is our strength. He called us. He quickened us. He gave us life. And He is by His Spirit an ever-present help in trouble. Here's the conclusion. Here's your confidence. If you're confident in this, this is always going to be the conclusion. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though everything you think is sure and stable, though it be removed, how then shall that affect you if God is your refuge? If God is your strength? If God is present and helping you, how then would that affect you? It won't. It won't. He is a present help in trouble. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Verse 4, look at this. There is a river. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. The psalmist here in these verses gives confidence by the picture of the river. Here you have the city of refuge. The city of God. the city of refuge in which all of the elect reside. And in the midst of the city of refuge, there is a constant, perpetual stream. A stream of water. This water is a picture. It is a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a picture of the blood of Christ that constantly, perpetually provides nourishment and cleansing for God's people. It is a water of life. It is the water of life. Look over in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. God says this, oh, stop a minute. Listen. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently to me and eat that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Christ, through the gospel here, is pictured as the water. He is the water of life. And God says to those who are thirsty, come drink. How much does it cost? Scott, how much does water cost? It's free. Come without money. Come without price. Come without works. Come without merit. In fact, come with your debt. Drink. And your soul shall live. This is the river of water of life. And what is its source? It's God. God is the source of this gospel. God is the source of this fountain. I like that hymn, there is a fountain filled with what? Blood. There is a fountain filled with blood. Drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Listen to me, are you unrighteous? God said this, there is a fountain, in that day there shall be a fountain opened. For what? For sin and ungodliness. Are there any sinners? I'm not talking about are you a bad person. I'm saying are you a vile person? Are you a leprous person? Are you an unholy person? Are you a corrupt person? If you are, this fountain was open for you. Now listen, I know it was open for only the elect, but you know who the elect are? They are the vile ones. They are the ungodly ones. They are the ones who need the fountain. They need this water of life. Are you unrighteous? Then come now and drink. What is it to drink? It's not a physical water. It's not a cup of wine. It's faith. It is to believe on Jesus Christ. That's what He meant by eat my flesh and drink my blood. It is to believe on Christ. And all who believe on Christ drink of this fountain and they live. They live. And I want you to know this. Those who drink do so because they need it. If I were to take a glass of water, put it right here. You can measure that water. You could measure the size of it. You can analyze the content of it. You can test the purity of the water. You can measure the beads of water that come off the side of the glass. But what good is that water if you're not thirsty? See, I can show you Christ. I can put Christ before you. I can show you His perfect life, His perfect death, His perfect ascension and resurrection. I can show you where He's at. He's on the throne of God, ruling all things after the counsel of His own will. He is saving His people from their sins. I can show you everything about the water, but only God can give you a need for it. And if you're thirsty, what are you going to do? You're going to drink. Because you're thirsty, it's not a choice. It's a necessity. Same way with faith. Faith. I believe in Christ because I must believe in Christ. It's not a choice. It's a necessity. I still believe in Christ because it's a necessity. I must have Him. Therefore, this river, I'm so glad that this water I'm talking about is a constant, continual flowing river. It's not said to be a pond. Pond stagnant. This is a river of water of life, whereof its streams make glad. Who? The city of God. Tonight this river is flowing. It's a river of confidence. Confidence in Christ. And what do? Drink it. Drink it. It does you no good to measure it. Drink it. It does you no good to think about it. Drink it. Believe it. And what's the result? And make glad. I tell you what, I'm tired of being sad. Sometimes I just get sad. And you just get tired. Why? Drink. Drink and be glad. Rejoice. Rejoice. Streams of this river make glad the city of God. Now then, notice this. Last thing here. God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of her. Those who are in this city and drink of this river, listen to me. God is always in the midst of us. He is in us. He is with us. Always. How many times do you not feel it? I seem to spend most of my life not being able to feel His presence. What does that have to do with this text? Does it say God is in the midst of her when she feels it? God is in the midst of her when she does good. No, just simply this. God is in the midst of her. Why? Because she is in the midst of Him. Aren't you in Him? Where else are you going to be? But with you. He's with you. And what's the result of this? She shall not be moved. Who can in thy presence stand and match omnipotence? Unfold the grasp of thy right hand and pluck the sinner thence. Who? Who can take you from Him? Again, the Spirit's writing this for your confidence. Well, you might say this. Well, you know what? I just really have messed up. I have sinned, and surely now I have taken myself out. No. God says, she shall not be moved. Now you may fall, and you may be broken. But you will not be removed. When did God put you in Christ? It was before the world began He put you in Christ. You were in Christ when Christ came and accomplished your salvation. You experienced it when He called you. And now you're experiencing it even now by continual faith in Christ. Let me ask you this, believer. Can you not believe? Is that possible for a believer to just stop believing? No. Why? Because God says you shall not be moved. Therefore, you can conclude this. You shall not be moved. God is your help. And listen, that right early. Early. I pray God give you confidence. I know I wouldn't get nowhere. I thought I'd get to my text. I didn't. But I hope the Lord bless you anyway. Considering the holy confidence that you have in Christ. He is your what? Refuge. He is your strength. He is your present help in trouble. The stream that flows is the stream of grace, and we drink of this grace constantly. We are constantly drinking for forgiveness and pardon and mercy. It makes us glad. You know what? We're not going to be moved from it. Nothing will take us from Christ. That is our confidence. Now, what do you have to do with it? What do you have to do with this refuge? Did you build this refuge? Did you help in this strength? Or are you helping God help you? No, I'm just the object of His love and affection. I'm just the object of this strength, the object of this help. Out of free grace and mercy. Would to God everyone would drink of this, of Christ, and believe and find confidence in Him.